Now let's continue on and see that there is also, in addition to the Jewish element, and we'll cover a little bit of that later here, in addition to the Gentile element, and we'll cover that a little bit later, we have also, in addition to those false prophets coming from the outside within, let's come to Acts 20. And we're going to see that there was a problem of ministers and elders within that would feed the people who have itching ears. And so this is how we have all these offshoots, or as I said last time, knockoffs. Name of Christ is so good. It's just like today with all, you know, you do music, you do videos, and it's so good. Immediately China gives a knockoff. Bang. In other words, they produce an illegal copy. See? Well, same way, there are a lot of knockoff Christian churches. They all claim to be Christian, but unless they have the signs of the church, the Sabbath, Passover, Holy Days, and unless they love each other as Christ loved them, and preaching the gospel, and teaching the word of God, and telling people, prove from the Bible, like the Bereans, search and find out. See, because Jesus said, seek and you shall find, knock and you shall it shall open. Okay? Now we also have this. In order for brand new people to seek and find, then the church of God has to be in a condition where it can be preaching the gospel to the world, so those who are seeking, God can lead them to where they can find. That has to be also. So it works that way all the way around. Now, let's come up here to Acts 20, and let's begin here in verse 17, because Paul didn't want to go to Ephesus. So verse 17, Acts 20. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know how, from the first day I came to Asia and all the time I was with you, I served the Lord with humility, no self-exaltation and hierarchy, and with many tears and temptations which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, because the Jews were there coming after him. And how I did not keep back anything that was profitable, but preached to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, earnestly testifying both to Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning, the basis of the gospel. What did Jesus say when he came into Galilee? Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And with him being there, yes, it was right at hand. Now, he said he's going to Jerusalem, verse 22. Holy Spirit says there are bonds and tribulations, verse 23. But he didn't take any of these things into account or count his life dear to himself, verse 24. Because he says, and the ministry that I received, verse 24, from the Lord to fully testify the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, so the gospel consists of two things. Grace of God, number one. Kingdom of God, number two. We'll see that in just a minute. So, many of the churches today that are Sunday keepers say, oh, we have the grace of God. Maybe they've got part of that correct. But what about the kingdom of God? What about the rule of God in your life, etc.? Okay? Verse 25. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Then he gives a witness to them. Says, I testify to you, which is like saying, I'm giving you a personal witness. Verse 25. Now behold, I know that you all, among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God. So there we have it. the gospel of the grace of God and the kingdom of God together will see my face no more. Wherefore, I testify to you on this day, I'm pure of the blood of all. I have not held back from preaching to you all the counsel of God. Now then, he gives a warning directly to the elders. Verse 28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock. You have to watch out for yourself. Now, some men, when they become elders, think they're above everybody and everything. That is not the case. Some even get so arrogant that if there's a problem, they say, well, if there's a problem, I am the elder, and you come to me. That's not the way it should be. Now, a true elder will be seeking the truth, and anything that he is doing that is not correct, and someone brings up to him that needs an adjustment and a change, he'll say thank you. And he will change. That's the way it should be. So they have to watch out for themselves and watch out for the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now that's quite a statement. Put in there John 21. What did Jesus tell Peter? If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my flock. If you love me, feed my lambs. That's what it's all about here. The church belongs to Christ. He bought it with his sacrifice. Doesn't belong to a man. Doesn't belong to an organization. It belongs to Christ. He's the head of the church. And every minister, every elder, needs to keep teaching the people to have that close relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That's how we grow and overcome. That's how we change. See? It's not the ministers that make the people change. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the relationship of God. Notice what he says here, verse 29. Here's a severe warning. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's what happened. Have we lived through that in our lifetime? Yes. What has happened to the flock? It's been scattered. Now it's been scattered enough, and it purges out the false ministers, it purges out the false brethren, and the true believers are brought together by Christ. Now, with that having been accomplished then, what does Christ expect the churches to do? Preach the gospel to the world, because now he's going to add more to it. But you see, we have to be aware of these things. We have to be aware that these things will take place. Now, we'll see some of this here in just a little bit. Let's repeat that. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves shall come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, from without and from within. Men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Watch therefore, remembering that for 3 years I ceased not to admonish each one night and day with tears. Because he knew what was going to happen. Okay. Now, let's see. Yes, it did happen. Let's come to the epistle of 1 John. And let's see how bad this got. Epistle of 1 John. Now, we already read 2 Peter, the first chapter, where false teachers would come in denying Christ. We'll see it again in the book of Jude. All right. 1 John, the second chapter. Now let's follow this through carefully. Verse 15. Because how do those from without come in and seduce the brethren? And how do those from within become betrayers of Christ? And it's right here in verse 15. do not love the world. In other words, you don't follow the world's practices, you don't do as the world does. And with many fake Christianities around, you have to have the understanding, as we have mentioned, Sabbath, Passover, holy days, love of God, love of brethren, serving the right kind of church government. Okay? Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pretentious pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. There again is another sign we can add to it. Doing the will of God. All the way through. See? Now notice what comes right after that. Because these are the devices that men use to take away people out of the church and have them follow themselves. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, just as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have risen up, by which you know that it is the last time. Now that was a literal statement for the time of the Apostle John before he died, and it was also a prophetic statement for the Church of God at the end time. It works both ways. And of course, it's been that way down through history. Now let me just mention here that I've mentioned several times the video Israel of the Alps. Now if you don't have that one, write for it and you follow through, because that will show how God protected his church from the world when the Roman Empire was really coming in and building, and then building the false Catholic Church, and where he protected them for 1260 years in the Alps. Then you see the whole story that happened to them. They were zealous, they were loving God, they were doing the things that they should, and everything. I think you will find this most interesting. And as you watch this video, I want you to ask the question, what would I do today if I were faced with the same circumstances? All right, let's go on. Verse 19, they went out from among us. That is, the ministers who came in or rose up from within the ranks, changed doctrine, and left. And when that happens, you also have this. If it becomes so bad, the true believers leave. And what is left looks like the same organization, but it's not. And we live through that too, right? Yes. I mean, is the Bible true and living or not? Absolutely. Okay? They went out from us, but they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they would have remained with us. Nevertheless, they left that it might be that they might be exposed to show that they were not of us. Now let's see how bad this got. Let's come to the epistle of 3 John. I mean, this really got bad. Fights in the pulpit, taking sides with ministers and brethren. Haven't we all gone through that? Yes, indeed. I remember, 31 years ago, I resigned from a Church of God that was becoming corrupt. And it did become corrupt, and it did happen, like God inspired me to say, he destroyed it. No longer exists. It may have a name, but it's totally subverted. Boy, there have been fights in the pulpit and things like that. And when things were going on, they even had fights among the evangelists down in Pasadena, which was the headquarters of that church. And it was reported that they were even in fisticuffs against each other. I mean, the Church of God, love one another as I love you. Boom, bam, boom, bam. Huh? See? Oh, you be faithful to the apostle. all the money he squandered and all the sins that he has, and, you know, changing the gospel and, you know, from the gospel of the coming of Christ to the gospel of give and get and the gospel of the unseen hand. And just before he died, he admitted all those trips overseas, God never opened a single door. We kicked him in with money. Abuse of the tithes and offerings that God's people gave. And that happened way long after I left. Well, I've subsequently been disfellowshipped 3 times, so, you know, I guess that's a badge of dishonor, you would say. Well, the question is, do you want a fellowship with them? They don't teach the truth? Now, same thing happened here, 3 John. Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 9. 3 John and verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be chief among them, does not accept us. Now, how bad can it get? The longest living apostle of Jesus Christ, the one whom Jesus loved, and the one who finalized the canonization of the New Testament later after this incident, was rejected from attending the church that he founded. That's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the true faith on the earth? Yes, he will, because he guaranteed it will not die out. Now, it might end up being few, but if you're really honest and really want to find the truth, you can find it. And today you have the Bible, and you can start with the Bible. And today we're able to provide you with the Holy Bible in its original order, with a clear, defined, faithful translation, Old and New Testament, so you can understand what it says and not get confused with all of the problems that you find in Christianity in the world, in fundamentalism in the world. Because every major doctrine of Protestantism is founded upon a poor translation or wrong translation found in the King James Version and misinterpretations. Once you understand that, you must seek the truth. The Word of God is truth. You must hold fast the truth and keep proving. And you must draw close to God, especially in times when you have inner battles like this. How about that? Does not accept us. Can you imagine how the church degenerated? Verse 10, because of this very thing, if I come, I will call him to account for his actions, that he is practicing with evil words, maliciously berating us. And he is not satisfied with these things, for he himself neither receives the brethren, nor does he permit those who wish to receive the brethren, but he forbids them and casts them out of the church. Amazing, isn't it? Have we seen that happen? Yes, indeed. What is the whole process of this? To keep the church pure. Those who love God will still love God. Those who believe in Jesus Christ will still believe in the true Jesus Christ. Those who keep the commandments of God will keep the commandments of God. That's why today, since the Christian world is in such disarray, and we see the seeds of it sown right here, that's why we have church at home. You can't go to a church today and be guaranteed to listen to the truth or hear the truth. And even in some of churches of God, which ought to represent Jesus Christ, they have so watered down the doctrines and are so politically oriented toward keeping the number of people and keeping money that they don't dare speak the truth lest they drive someone away. And someone who is speaking the truth within the various churches of God, they have to label accusations against them because there are brethren within their ranks that don't like what they're hearing, so they must give them fear and intimidate them so that they won't leave. So, you know, the purging is still going to go on. So this is why we have church at home. And so, brethren, pray that God will bless that, because there are people out there that want to know the truth. And so we are going to do the best that we can. But look at the situation here as it occurred. Then go and read and study Revelation 2 and 3 again and see what happened to the churches of God after that. All right? Let's see what Jude says about this. Jude, next book over, just turn the page. Book of Jude. Jude, let's pick it up here in verse 3. Beloved, when personally exerting all my diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write to you, exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith. That's what we have to do. We can't handle it carefully. We have to be able to convict all the gainsayers. We have to know the Word of God. We have to rightly divide the Word of God. That's all a part of where is the Church of God today. There are many Sabbath-keeping organizations, that is true. There are many churches of God, that is true. So you've got to check their doctrine, you have to check what they teach, you have to compare it with the Bible, and then you have to ask God to help you understand where you need to go for the truth. That's what you have to do, that's up to you. Okay? Which once, for all time, has been delivered to the saints. In other words, the true faith of everything is contained in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit that God gives makes that faith work within us, you see. But the understanding of that faith comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come from a nice, soft little message, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? And, yes, do you repent of your sins? Oh, I repent of my sins. All right. Do you want Jesus in your heart? Say, Lord, come into my heart. Yes, he just came in, there he is, you know, now you're born again. That's what the world teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you have to repent. You have to count the cost. You have to be baptized. You have to receive the Spirit of God. You have to keep the commandments of God now through the Spirit of God, through the grace of God, from the heart. And conversion is an inward process that is done by your seeking God with the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of God working with you to convert you. And beyond that, that is in preparation for ruling the world. Well, that's something. I talk about that for most of the sermons during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now notice he speaks of the same problem that John did, verse 4. For certain men have stealthily crept in, those who long ago have been written about, condemning them to this judgment. They are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God, turning it into licentiousness, and are personally denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now how would you recognize that from the pulpit? What if you go to a Sunday-keeping church? Now, how are you going to recognize it? You know nothing else. What is the first sign of perverting the grace of God, turning it into licentiousness? Christ has done away with the law. Christ or the apostles or the church changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Those are the first two warning signs. And with that, maybe if you're seeking, maybe you better get to the Bible and quit doing like the world does. The world is this way. Well, if I want to find God, I got to go to church. Well, what if he's not there? I got an email from some people who following along at church at home. They want to be baptized. And they said, we got the book, A Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, Which? And they read it and they said, they were astounded. They were a good staunch Baptist. And guess what they did? Proving all things, they confronted their Baptist preacher. And guess what happened? Everything that was in the book proved to be true. See? So that's what we have to do. We have to fight for the faith. That's how you can tell. You can't tell by going up and shaking hands with them. They may be very friendly. They may be very nice. You know, just like Charles Stanley may be able to give a wonderful, smooth, very biblical message, but he leaves off all the important things that put you in contact with God. See, they want enough repentance so you keep coming to church. But they don't want complete repentance so that you really turn to Christ, because then you will be unchurched. That's the way they feel about it, see? All right. That's quite a thing here. Okay? Let's look at some other forces that are coming here. All right. And I think we've covered just about all of it here. Let's look at the spiritual forces that are against us as well. So you see, really being a true Christian is a miracle indeed. Look at all the forces from without, plus the world, plus the forces within to split and divide and to rule over, and all the things that we have covered here. Okay, let's look and see something else. What's behind all of these things? Let's come to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Like where we started out, there is a Satan, the devil, who is deceiving the world. And he has legions of demons, does he not? Yes, indeed. And they come preaching. How do they do it? Like John said, try the spirits whether they are from God or not. See, because many false preachers have gone into the world. Well, behind every false minister is what then? Doctrines of demons. All right? 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Now, this does have to do with clean and unclean foods, but the first verses here have to do with doctrines and teachings. Verse 1. Now, the Spirit tells us explicitly that in the latter times, are we living in the latter times? Yes, indeed. How long has that been? We don't know. How long is it going to continue? We don't know. Because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Every time men set a date and say, oh, we know it's going to be this, you're guaranteed it's wrong. Absolute guaranteed it's wrong. Okay? Because Jesus said, no man knows. Now, we can know the times and seasons when these things may possibly take place, but how many times did it look like we came right up to the door, and when it opened, something else happened instead of the end? See, just like today, within the Church of God, there's one man and his wife going around saying, we're the two witnesses. Really? How come you're dressed in a suit and not sackcloth? How come you're not on the streets of Jerusalem, as it says in Revelation 11? And how come you're preaching false doctrines out of claiming scriptures that have not things that have not happened? Well, see, you prove them. All right, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit tells us explicitly that in the last times some shall apostatize from the faith and shall follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, like Jeremiah 23 says, dreams. I had a dream. What do we have today? The Lord spoke to me. And I love those interviews when a reporter gets on there and says, oh, really, God spoke to you? How did he speak to you? You mean he impressed a thought upon your mind? Well, yes. But that sounds impressive, you know. God spoke to me last night. And people watch that and say, oh, you must be a man of God. See? No, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, because it tells us in Isaiah the 8th chapter, to the law and the testimony if they don't speak according to this words, because there's no light in them. See? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, they know better. Just like some people we've talked to recently are coming to understand about the Sabbath, and they run back to their Sunday-keeping church and say, "Oh, pastor, 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 which day does the Bible teach is the Sabbath?" "Oh, it's the seventh day, but we don't do that anymore." Hypocrisies. Their conscience having been cauterized with hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Sound like a church, you know? Yes. Commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving by the faithful, even by those who know the truth. We won't go to the rest of that. But we'll find out some other things concerning that. Come back to, let's see, let me look at it here. Okay, come over to 2 Timothy 2. Let's see some of the other things that take place. Look at the charge that he gave. If you want to know, what should a minister teach and preach? Let me give you three clues. Four. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, 1 Timothy. Number three, 2 Timothy. Number four, Titus. That's how he should run his ministry. And those are the things that you're saying, "Well, I wonder if this man is a minister of God." That's how you can tell. He won't be perfect. He'll admit he has his own faults and mistakes, and that he likewise has to repent like everybody else. But here's what you look for. All right? Verse 14, 2 Timothy 2. Now here Paul was fighting the problem. Paul fought this problem all the way through. And remember, 2 Timothy is the last epistle that he wrote before he died. He says, "See that they remain mindful of these things," everything that he has in his epistles there, "earnestly charging them in the sight of the Lord not to argue over words that are not profitable in any way, but which lead to the subverting of those who hear." Silly arguments over words. But here's what he should do. "Diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Because if you wrongly divide it, you come up with error. Just like if you misspell a word, you know, have you done that? Sit down to your computer and start typing and your fingers are over one key. You look at it, you think, "Did I type that?" You know, and it's all underlined in wavy green because it's all misspelled. Now, if you as an intelligent person can do that just accidentally, doesn't that eliminate all the chimpanzees and their evolution wisdom? Automatically, okay? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, "But avoid profane and vain babblings, because they will only give rise to more ungodliness." And when that starts infecting a church of God or any group, notice what happens. "And their words will eat away at the body like gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, claiming that the resurrection has taken place already and are destroying the faith of some." Now that's something. That close to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they're saying, there's, you know, resurrection is already past, or like in Corinth, even earlier to this time, claiming there's no resurrection. So what did you have? You had the doctrine of the immortality of the soul being preached in the Church of God. Isn't that amazing? Okay. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands firm, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who calls upon the name of Christ depart from unrighteousness." Now, what is unrighteousness? Going against the words and teachings of the Bible, the commandments and the instructions of Christ. Now, Let's come down here, all the way down to verse 25. No, verse 24. Oop, verse 23. But foolish and ignorant speculations reject. That's why I have the cowbell. So if I speculate, you know I am. Okay? Knowing that they engender arguments. Now it is obligatory that a servant of the Lord not be argumentative, but gentle toward all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness correcting those who set themselves in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance unto acknowledging of the truth. That's what it's all about. When we teach, when we gather for sermons and things like that, when I put together sermons, when you do your Bible study, this applies. And are you corrected when something you read affects you and you need to change? Of course we should. Yes, indeed. And that they may wake up and escape the devil's snare who has been taken captive by him to do his will. So people can go so far out that they just become captives of Satan, the devil. Now we'll finish by going to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter here. So these, what we've covered, are all the internal evidence of what happened in the Church of God. And yet the Church of God survived. And yet we have the truth of the Word of God. Everything works together for good in the long run. Now here concerning the spiritual fight that we are up against, and that we'll have in our day. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, spiritually and physically, vigilant, mentally and spiritually, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's got a lot of helpers today, doesn't he? All the high tech, all the television, all the media, you know, all the... And you look at the movies that come out, it's just nothing but occultism, occultism, occultism. And the whole world is going after it, like the movie, what, Avatar? You talk something that is just demonic and satanic, that's it. And so all of those things are there. So there are times we just have to cut it all off and shut it all out. You know, that's why today prayer and study are, you know, the paramount important thing we need to do. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So we're right back where we started, right? Shall the Son of Man find the faith, that is the true faith, when he returns? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Then he gives a promise. And always look to this promise if you're going through a trial. Okay? Verse 10. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, he himself perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now if you're personally going through a problem or trial, use this as a basis for beginning of your prayer. And use Romans 8:28, which is, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See? And you have been. See? God will see you through it. Then he says, to him be the glory and the power into the ages of eternity. Amen. So we've just had a brief overview of some of the things that the true Church of God has gone through since it was established by Jesus Christ. And in these end times, we need to follow all the instructions, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, yield to God constantly, be led of the Holy Spirit, keep the commandments of God, keep the faith of Christ, and you will enter into the kingdom of God. Absolute guarantee. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.